right. Turn your Bibles, please, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to be getting there in a moment. But we're going over this series called Thankful. And today, we're addressing being thankful in provision. Now, last week, I'm so thankful that Heidi answered the call to preach about being thankful in worship. Didn't she do a great job? And, you know, whether we're talking about being thankful or having gratitude, it is actually a command in Scripture. Did you know that? It is a command to be thankful. Listen to 1 Chronicles 16:34 through 36. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, 'Save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you.' Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people shouted, "Amen," and praise the Lord. And so today, as we turn our attention to being thankful for God's provision, I'm going to just unveil some things in my life. For much of my life, I was focused more on what I didn't have rather than what I had. Who resonates with that? And I want you to really think about this. Do you realize what that does to a person's spirit when you're focused on what you don't have rather than what you do have? I'm going to talk about this. These are called the seven deadly fruits of scarcity thinking. When you and I focus on what we don't have, and I'm going to go through these rather quickly. I encourage you, if you want to, take a picture with your phone, whatever you need to do. But this is all in Scripture. The first outcome is pessimism. And that's that darkened lens that sees only the problems. And in Numbers 13, 31 through 33, the spies, as they went out and they observed the land that God had promised them, they said, "We seem like grasshoppers." Now here's the contrast to pessimism, is hope. The second outcome, complaint. Now, I don't think we have any complainers in this church, do we? And the reference for that scripture is Exodus chapter 16. But the contrast to complaint is praise. Third outcome, envy, where we start coveting what others have. And that scripture references Exodus 20:17. That's the commandment, "You shall not covet." But the contrast to that is being content. The fourth outcome, worry. Tomorrow's unknowns paralyze today's faith. And Jesus covers that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. We're going to be referencing that a little bit later. And the contrast to worry is trust. The fifth outcome, hoarding, where we have these clenched fists that block God's blessing. And the reference for that is Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. But the contrast to that, instead of hoarding, it's us being generous. Number six, ingratitude. Scripture reference for that is Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. The contrast to not being grateful is worship. The seventh is stagnation. This fear of not enough, it keeps us from stepping out, and so we kind of feel stuck. And the reference for that is Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 through 25. The contrast to stagnation is multiplication, And that's where we're going to read today. And church, I am telling you, the math seems so clear to me that scarcity thinking, it equals these seven deadly fruits. But what happens is when we choose to be thankful, it flips the equation. In the story that we're going to read about this morning, it's one boy's lunch plus the Savior's prayer, and next thing we know, we have 12 basketfuls of food and a testimony that still feeds us today, and it speaks today. Who knows God's Word speaks? Who loves the Word of God? Let's read Matthew chapter 14, verses 19 through 21. It says, "Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. God, I pray that we will observe all the things that are going on in the scripture and understand how this speaks to us today. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I aim to be a thankful person. Who knows, it's not good enough to just be thankful this one time a year come Thanksgiving, right? We should be thankful all times, and something that I believe is thankfulness unlocks miracles. It truly does. I want you to look back at this scripture, particularly verse 19. Jesus, it says, "Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven and blessed them." Did you see that? It says he blessed them. So Jesus gave thanks before the miracle. He gave thanks before the miracle even occurred. Jesus blessed God out of the abundance, not of what he knew that they would have. He blessed God out of the abundance of what they already had in the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Notice in this prayer, he didn't petition God, "Hey, give us more." He didn't say that. He was praising God. Instead, his prayer was, "Thank you for these 2 fish. And these 5 loaves, that was his prayer. And most of us really don't have the capacity to be thankful for that because we're too focused on, we're like, okay, I've got 5 loaves, I've got 2 fish, and yeah, I've got about 12,000 people right in front of me. And so it's not that we're not focused on the need, we're not focused on, boy, you know, like if we really want to feed these everyone, then we've got to do this, we've got to do that, and we need this much food exactly. Instead, what happens with us is we get focused on the magnitude of what needs to take place, that we just lock up. I mean, in human reasoning, we might say, okay, we've got 5 loaves and we've got 2 fish, so we can feed, maybe we can stretch this out a little bit, maybe we can feed about 30 people. You know, just really break it up and get at least some nourishment. We're so focused on the magnitude of everything. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "Be thankful in all circumstances." Hold on. Did it say be thankful in some circumstances? Did it say be thankful in many circumstances? No, it says be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. It doesn't say be thankful when everything is perfect. Because what you and I might deem as ideal circumstances, do you know, is relative to each and every one of us? I have seen people that they say they have so much need. And I look in their lives, I'm like, wow, you're living better than most. And so it really does become relative what we think is the ideal situation for us. Now, our church, something that Pastor Ted touched on very briefly, our church gives to the Ancianos Feeding Program in Cuba. And For those who don't know, seniors, they're not able to meet the demands of the government to go out and actually get their food. They're not able to travel. They're stuck in their home, and no one just brings them food. They just starve. And there is a friend of mine who is a pastor in Miami, Florida, and he is also a Cuban citizen. And so what he does about every 6 weeks, he goes down and he is overseeing this program where food is being distributed to these pastors in these churches, and they're taking it out to the people that their churches are connected to. And these people, I get hundreds of pictures. I can send them to you anytime you want. These people are thankful for just a bottle of oil, 2 pieces of chicken breast, and a bag of rice. Like, that's where they're at. Many of us can't comprehend true desperation. Imagine you have determined in your heart, I'm going to be grateful to God when God has answered every prayer. Because that's usually when we choose to be grateful. Maybe I am going to be thankful to God when every dream that I have ever had has been fulfilled. It has been given. God has fulfilled my dreams. And I'm going to be grateful when life is just the way I want it. Who knows? You'd never be thankful. You would never be thankful. You'd never reach that point. The bar would always move. But if you are thankful in all circumstances, there is no moment left to question, should I be thankful here? The answer is always yes. It's always yes. Now, for you and I, thankfulness as defined, it's easy to define. It's just being appreciative or grateful. But here's the thing. I can say I appreciate something, but my body language, my actions display something completely different. So the reality is, to be thankful for us means that it is our heart's posture before God. So what's your attitude in prayer when you go to Him? How are you seeking Him? Are you grateful or are you demanding? Are you envious? Or are you content? You know, it is a reverse mindset to see the favor of God in everything, and that is something that we have to work to. And I think what we need to choose to do is just choose to be defiant against all despair. It sounds easy, but it's not. And I get it. Life can be pretty bleak sometimes. One of my son's favorite movies, and my favorite movie too, is Hacksaw Ridge. Do we have any fans of Hacksaw Ridge in here? And, you know, one day Isaac was watching it, and my son, he's 21, and he still watches this cartoon called Equestrian Girls. So I was a little shocked when he said, Dad, I watched Hacksaw Ridge. And I'm like, you watched Hacksaw Ridge? And he's like, don't worry, Dad, I'm 19. It's okay. I'm like, okay. But if you haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge, it's based off the true story of Desmond Doss. Desmond Doss, a conscientious objector that chose to enlist in war even though he refused to take a weapon. And so they made him a medic, and he finds himself in the Battle of Okinawa, and he's with the 77th Infantry, and they're in this battle, and they retreat, and he is stuck on top of this 400-foot cliff, and there are many U.S. soldiers wounded. And I can only imagine how terrifying it is when my infantry has left me, there's all these wounded here, I don't even carry a weapon, I'm a sitting duck. But while he was up there, he saw a soldier that could be saved. And he had a rope. And it was enough to lower them off the cliff, where he discovered there were some of his infantry was waiting at the bottom of the cliff. And then as the night drew on, because he was there all night, he kept praying, Lord, help me save just one more. Help me save just one more. And that night, a medic without a weapon saved 77 men, earning him the Medal of Honor. And I think it is easy to say that Desmond Doss, he was defiant against the despair of his situation. Because there are times where some people react completely different in that same scenario. But he chose to be defiant against all odds, and he looked at that moment instead as an opportunity. You know, for us as believers, I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 4 encapsulates this idea very well. If you would turn there, it's 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 15. It says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So if we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, 'I believed in God, so I spoke.' We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you." Listen to verse 15. "All of this is for your benefit. And God's grace reaches more and more people. There will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory." When reading the scripture, it promised you are dying. And you are dying, you are suffering with Christ. But Paul makes it clear in verse 15, all of this is for your, does it say harm? It didn't say harm. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. I can only imagine there are some here that you might be new to the faith. You might have come from a different church. You might have read all of Joel Osteen's books and you're like, "I have never heard this." And you might say, "That's not the kind of suffering I signed up for." And church, something that I want to preach and I want to make so clear, God wants to reward you. Amen? God wants to reward you, but his rewards are eternal. They're eternal. They're not for this earth. And so you're going to have to just trust him. You're going to have to trust that God has your back. You got to have to trust that God has your best interest. You have to trust that the outcome belongs to him. Church, trust replaces worry when you remember yesterday's faithfulness. It's not about tomorrow. And so that there are times where I need encouragement because I am an anxious individual. I don't know if we have what my mom would call some nervous Nellies in the room, but I got called that regularly growing up. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 25 through 27. We're also going to read verse 33. It says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I'm going to tell you about my lesson I learned here 2 years ago. I thought I was a man of faith. I thought I knew what faith looks like. And I joined my partner in ministry, Dave Bethany. He wanted me to go with him to Cuba. And he prepared me. He says, Aaron, they've got like no food right now. He said, so we're going to need to bring protein bars. We're going to need food. And he says, we're going to stay at an Airbnb, and there they'll feed us breakfast and dinner, but we just have to be prepared for lunch. I said, okay, no problem. And so I packed a bunch of protein bars, and we're there, and it's the first day of meetings, and of course I brought my snacks with me in my backpack, and they're getting ready to have lunch, and the pastor's wife invites us, say, come into our apartment and we'll have lunch. And we walk into her apartment. And there they have this table. It's a modest-sized table. It's about 5 to 6 feet long, and it's about 3 feet wide, and it is covered in food. It's covered in chicken. It's covered in rice. It's covered in beans. It's covered in fresh avocado and fresh mango, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I said, no. I said, we're okay. And Dave insisted. He looks at them and he says, we know that we don't want to take from your rations. We don't want to take from your supplies. So we brought lunch. And the pastor of the church, who's also the president of the Bible Churches of Cuba, he stopped us dead in our tracks. And he said, we are Matthew 6:33 people. He said, God has given us enough food for today. We eat. I put my snacks back in my bag. I never questioned it after that. I thought I had faith. I've begun to learn what it means to trust God. And we don't see that kind of faith very often. And it is that childlike faith that the Father is just going to provide. It's trusting that He is just going to provide for each and every one of our needs. Because so often, you and I, we're caught up way too much in the resources that we have and the resources that we don't have. And we tend to fixate on tomorrow's maybe. Joyce Meyer famously says that worry is a down payment on a problem you may never have. But worry also displays a lack of trust in God. What was the contrast to worry? It was trust. So imagine, just imagine being in the shoes of the disciples for just a moment, and they've got this huge crowd, and they want nothing more than to say, okay, we need to dismiss this crowd so that we can go somewhere and get food because we're starving ourselves. And so I can only imagine they're grumbling about the crowd size. They did try to calculate how much wages would feed that crowd, and it was quite the magnitude, and they were just in awe at the cost of everything. But I want to remind you, and they had to be reminded, worry fixates on tomorrow's maybe, but thankfulness remembers yesterday's miracles. And so what we have to do is we have to switch the focus on what you hope God will do to praising God for what He has done. Because so often when we pray, it's, God, I need you to come through here. God, I need you to do this. God, I don't have this. And that is how our mind is focused on things constantly. But instead, if we turned that around for just a moment, God, you've done this for me time and time and time again. Thank you. By the time the food had been distributed to the multitude, the disciples picked up 12 baskets full. And there was one basket for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. There was one basket for each of the disciples to carry. It wasn't just enough food, it was God's abundance. And He poured out. So, imagine just for a moment, they're looking at these baskets and they're full. And they're thinking, well, this is great. We've got food for tomorrow. We've got food for the next day. We can keep this going. Instead, the baskets, what they represented, because I'm sure some of us think, well, that was kind of wasteful if they don't eat it. The baskets carried proof of God's faithfulness to the next sunrise. And the children of Israel, they saw that time and time again when they were wandering in the desert. When they were wandering in the desert, God provided manna. It fell from heaven. They even said, well, we don't know where tomorrow's food is going to come, so we're going to gather up more than enough. But guess what happened? They'd wake up the next morning and it had gone bad. God was trying to teach them to say, I'm going to give you enough for today. You need to trust me into tomorrow. God wants to teach us His supply is endless if you just trust. Just trust Him. And thankfulness, church, will get us to His endless supply. Choosing to be thankful each and every day, every time you open up your mouth in prayer. And what you are going to find that God's abundance flows, and God's abundance is going to flow through open hands, not closed fists. That's important. And something else that you can take to the bank. God's miracles don't stop at our satisfaction. God doesn't say, okay, I'm going to meet their expectations. That's not God. That's not the way God works. When He works, His answers always leave us in awe. I cannot believe that is how God answered. I cannot believe that is the way He did it. God's math isn't by subtraction. It's multiplication by distribution. And so your miracle isn't designed to affect just you. Because in this miracle, in our story today, the disciples didn't eat alone. They served the food. They served the food to everybody. So God wants to affect many through you and your faith and trust in Him and what He can provide. You see, God's blessing, God's favor, God's provision, it isn't just for you. It's for those around you. And He wants to pour out. And He wants to give more. Matthew 6:34. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. This young boy, he had a choice. Imagine two fish that maybe he caught, we're not sure, and these five loaves of bread. He's probably on his way home and got distracted by this large crowd, and he's like, hey, let me check this out. And they're looking at him and saying, hey, this crowd's hungry. Let's use that. I could only imagine, I caught that. I'm going to take that home. That's enough for me. And he had this choice. I can clutch on to these two fish and these five loaves. But here's the thing. If he clutches on to that, the crowd starves. The crowd starves. And church, I think this really preaches because God is teaching us that when we release, when we choose to be open-handed in everything that God has given us, that we are going to be generous in our faith and people are going to feast from what God is doing in our lives. Can I get an amen? Seriously, church, what we have to do is we have to approach that everything that I have in my life is God's and it's to be used by God. It's not for me. God has blessed me. And even if He has blessed you with little, what are you doing with it? Are you closed-fisted about it? Or are you saying, God, use me. Use me where I am. every Sunday, I pray with people over their needs, and I think that's important. Word of God teaches us to bring our needs before Him. And God also has 100% ability to answer. I've embraced that. And so what I have chosen to do, I bring my need to Him, but I also trust that God's going to answer in His own unique way that I don't understand. And so I choose to no longer be prone to worry. Let's not be fixated on what God has not done. Let's focus on what He has provided us. Let's be people, church, that we're so thankful in every little thing. Every little thing God has provided. And that enables you and I to carry a different spirit with us wherever we go. That we can be that light in dark places. That's who I want to be. And church, we need to be people that we don't close our fist and hold tightly to what God has given us, but we need to be generous and we need to display to the world that our God gives us more than enough. It is our faith that testifies of the greatness of God. And our faith is, it's not just representing how much scripture you know, how eloquently you can talk about God's word and debate theology and doctrine. Your faith is demonstrated by your works. And your works don't look like the everyday world kind of works. It's following the voice of God, having an open hand, and letting go of the things that God has blessed us with. Because He is abundantly able to do more than we could ever ask or think. You trust that. Something that I think is important exercise for us to do. We need to identify the resources God has given us. Things that maybe we have closed off and we said, God, you can have everything, but not this. This is mine. And I encourage you to just give it over to Him. Now, here's the thing. God might not be calling you to give that thing up. He might be calling you to use that for His purpose. But it is important to surrender these things over to Him. I learned a long time ago as a parent that my children are not my own. God has blessed me with them. And then when my children were born, I dedicated them back unto Him. And I said, God, they are to be used for your purpose. Everything I have belongs to God. And my salvation was not earned. I'm not deserving of it. God, in His provision, in His true provision, He provided Jesus Christ as a debt payment for my sin. He took my place. He paid my penalty, one that I clearly deserved. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us can earn salvation. It is impossible. And so I choose to acknowledge I owe everything to Him. And if God created this earth and everything in it, and He created me, He already has ownership over it anyways. He can take it away. But I'm choosing to walk in accordance with His will. And so today, what I encourage you to do, in closing, you know, it's a big word. Repent. Turn away from ungratefulness. Turn away from worry. Turn away from envy. it's holding you back. And we have to let go of these things. Because what it ultimately displays is we don't trust God. We say we do, but we don't trust Him. And then turn over your life. Turn over everything it is to God so that it can be used for His kingdom. Trust in His provision. Trust and know that God is going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. Just put your life in order. What I want you to do right now is I want you to stand. And you know, God, as I draw closer unto Him, gives me more things to repent of. Like He reveals things to me all the time. And so often we hear that in church and we think it's a dirty word, and we think that if someone sees you confess your sins to someone else, that all of a sudden, oh, you must be a bad person. That is a lie from Satan. That is a lie from Satan. Repentance is the most godly thing we can do. And so what I want to do this morning is we sing. We're going to open up the altar. And I encourage you to just turn everything over to Him. Surrender to Him, displaying my life, God, it's yours. And I think if we do it with a humble heart, and we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and let Him point out some of our scarcity thinking, then we're going to see God's blessing in our life for multiplication. And what He wants to do. So I'm going to pray. And what I want us to do is I want us to open the door for the Holy Spirit to minister and reveal in each and every one of us where we are not trusting God. Because as I shared my story just 2 years ago, thinking I had faith, I don't have faith like that. God is revealing to me every day, there's so much I can show you about my kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for Your word and Your truth. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity it is to be thankful, and we acknowledge, God, Your word commands it of us to be thankful. But God, it is so easy for us to look around at the world and say, but my situation, it's not ideal. My situation, God, I need You to answer. But God, I pray that we will recognize where our thinking sometimes falls short of that eternal mindset that You have called us to. So Lord, I pray right now that we surrender our needs unto You. God, we surrender our wants, our desires unto You. God, we surrender what You have already provided back unto You that You've so graciously given us, Lord, that we acknowledge that each and everything in our life, it belongs to You. And so, God, I pray that when You start breaking down those walls, when You start breaking down that worldly thinking, that, Lord, we will see things with that eternal perspective. That, Lord, You want to pour out Your best. God, may we choose surrender to You today.